Have you listened to episode 4? Why not? It's got Big Mike Elgin, New Japan Pro Wrestling superstar. Here's a clip. After you listen, download. Listen to it. We're on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher.
And you're also bringing in 3 or 4, including yourself, the bigger names in the indie wrestling area. Let's start. We got a show. Your first show is this Sunday. And so my first question was, you know, and most wrestlers just wrestle, and then you have a few that promote. You're going to make yourself very busy by being New Japan, working the indie scene here. And I just read you're going to be involved with Evolve. But why promote? Why did you decide, hey, I want to do Glory Pro, and why do you want to promote?
Well, I've had a school here in St. Louis since 2014, and obviously there's local shows in the area to utilize my students, and they're very good at getting out there and traveling. But it's always nice to kind of have a company locked in with your school so that students have a goal set to perform for that show. And that's kind of what I'm doing. And it just so happened to be that I've been kind of flirting with the idea for a couple years. And I was hurt from the broken orbital bone and was at home. And I received a text one night after South Broadway show. Basically, my students were saying that the promoter was real disrespectful to them, called them out in front of the locker room for working for the NWL that started up in the area, and that they would no longer use them if they were with NWL, because who knows what NWL is going to do with them, and if they look like...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Let's start the party.
Welcome, everyone. This is episode 53, a special edition of Shoot the Shiznit. I want to thank everyone for the downloads and the nice comments about Bill After. Bill was a great guest. I also want to let everyone know we have shirts. We have everything on sale, but mainly the shirts are $14 until midnight tomorrow, midnight on September the 15th, and that would be tinyurl.com/STS pod merch. You can get a Cool Kid shirt. You can get a Shooting a Shiznit shirt. You can get a shirt with Nakamura and Hong Kong Pui on it. That's right. I want to thank Bob McGee, my buddy at www.bwbts.com, Gene Jackson at www.localstolegends.com. They always post these, and I do appreciate it. Let everyone know we have a Facebook group where I'm posting the episodes at. Shooting the Shiznit without the G, so that's S-H-O-O-T-I-N. D-T-H-E-S-H-I-Z-N-I-T. Search that on Facebook. The episodes go up there, and then we talk about the episodes there. We have an actual original Facebook group that's official. It's Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. You'll have to search to get that also. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. On iTunes, go give us a review. Tell how much you enjoy the show. We're also on SoundCloud. I want to thank Suplex City Limits, my buddies Creative Control, and keeping it 100. Now, let's get to the show. Bring my old buddy Lance Levine. Hey, we were together Tuesday for Bill After. Now we're back here Thursday. I'm live from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri.
And we're up here at the CKC Studios North in Chicago, of course. I'm getting tired of you, man. It's been, like, too much lately. I feel like I'm married to you. I got divorced because of this kind of shit.
Oh, man, no. I don't want to talk about the big D word. You know, I got a good wife now, so we don't talk about the old wife.
D wife.
yeah, she is the wife. Well, welcome, Lance, and we got kind of a timely one here because we both sat down and watched the Mae Young Classic, and I actually finished it up this morning by watching the end of 7, the whole episode 8, and the finals. Absolutely, we're going to tell you what we liked of it. Now, what did we title this episode?
It's just going to be the top 10 takeaways of Mae Young Classic.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So you let's get started.
So I didn't think we could come up with 10 performers on this one. I didn't think we could do the same 10 matches type thing. So we literally are just doing the top 10 things that we took away, the biggest takeaways from the show. So at number 10, I'm going to let you rant. It's we have 1 through 9 all figured out. 10 is miscellaneous, so that's like a wild card category. So go for it.
All right. I've got some stuff here that just drove me absolutely crazy, okay? Number 1, tell me why we don't get crotch shots. I know.
Yeah.
Why?
What's
I mean, here, what the hell? Okay, so you're saying anyone's listening to this, and if you're a lady and you're listening to this, I'm not trying to be a sexist. I'm not trying to be a dirty old man. Let me tell you, I can watch men in the ring. They go right to the dong shot is what I call it. You get a big, you either get a limp one or a semi-hard one, and it's just right there on the screen. But as soon as the girls pull their crotches toward us, like we can even see anything. There's no camel toes or anything. But as soon as you get the, I'm getting excited and pissed, but it just goes right from it. So why can't we see crotches? Okay, that was one thing. And you know one thing we've seen here in the Mae Young Classic that we'll never see in a men's tournament? The birth control patch that was on Mercedes. She had a birth control patch. I was cracking up. I was like, oh, my God, we get to see a birth control patch while we're watching the tournament. Never see that. Never, ever see that in a men's tournament. And the other last thing that bugged the fuck out of me was, where the fuck was Sasha Banks? They said 4 horsewomen, but there was only 3 on one side. What the fuck were they thinking? All right, man, you're
all right. Man, FTC, free the crotch. That's going to be the new hashtag, I think. So, all right, so I'm going to try and squeeze mine in less than 90 seconds. Rachel Evers. Why is she Rachel Evers when they acknowledge that her last name is Ellering and she's Paul Ellering's daughter? That was dumb. Mercedes Martinez, as you mentioned, comes across like such a Latina badass. I think she is just a tough bitch that you just would not want to run into.
Over.
I think she should be the one in LAX as opposed to that ugly-ass Diamante. Serena Deeb looks exactly like Dawn Marie, except Serena Deeb apparently had her implants removed because now she looks like about a 14-year-old boy. Princessa Suhei. How do you fucking pronounce Suhei out of S-U-G-E-H-I-T? Maybe I'm just too American. I don't know. I found her to be way too CMLL old school wrestler for me. The women's wrestling has evolved so much today. She came across like Fabulous Moolah in this crowd, so I thought she just totally did not fit in. Plus, her name is weird. Kavita Devi was that giant Indian woman, and one of her quotes was, Kali taught us everything. And I thought, oh, the poor girl. Can't believe she actually went on record with that. Candice LeRae, this will be a controversial one. Candice LeRae is overrated on every front. I don't think she's very good looking. She's average there. She's a decent wrestler. I don't have anything against her in the ring, but I think she's overrated. In the match with Shayna Baszler, she was very tentative, and I just thought she didn't show her best in that tournament. Too much jewelry and piercings. It just kills me that I think somebody's going to get something ripped out of their body. I always thought that when Batista and CM Punk would have piercings when they would wrestle, I think the same thing. These girls all had them. It drove me nuts. And I was okay with Sarah Logan's belt as opposed to Juice Robinson's belt. Sarah Logan had the belt on her Daisy Dukes, and I thought that was sexy, as opposed to Juice Robinson, the scumbag. So at number 9.
That I find sexy. That I find sexy. Go ahead. Yeah.
That. You find Sarah Logan sexy? No, Juice Robinson. Let's not confuse the listeners here. At number 9, we have the concept of the binge watching versus the weekly episodes.
Oh, man, I don't know. Plus or minus, there's all kinds of stuff for that. I really like the way they did it this time because I really like the idea that that they throw out all the episodes and say, if you're watching something on Netflix, so if you want to binge watch something, then you don't have to wait over and over. On the other side, I watch TV shows on Hulu where you get one episode every week, and you know it comes on Tuesday, so I get up Tuesday morning and watch that episode. It really don't matter to me, but I did like binge watch the first 4 all together. And then watched, like I said, today I watched from middle 7 all the way to the finals. So I spent 3 days on the tournament, got it all done. I kind of say I'd give a slight edge to binge watching on this one. I really liked it that they did, they got it done, boom, 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 and then presented the show last night and did a really good. Or since this is Thursday, they presented the show Tuesday night. So.
Wait, I'm confused. What day is today? It's in Canada. When we're in Canada, what day is it? I feel slightly the opposite way, actually. I thought it was it was somewhat different doing the binge thing. The shows were only 45 minutes each, so really, if you did all four in a row, you got it in under 3 hours or so anyway. So I just prefer the weekly build, just like with any other episodic TV show or with wrestling through the ages. I prefer the weekly build of drama. I didn't find the binge thing to be a deal breaker. It didn't ruin it for me. I'm sure there's going to be people out there like, oh, fuck this binge stuff. I don't, you know, or whatever. But I thought as an experiment, it was fine to try at this time. But overall, I would say 60-40. I just prefer the Cruiserweight Classic format. I thought that built up more drama throughout the course of it. And granted, obviously, you didn't have to watch them all back-to-back like we all probably did. But I thought that they filmed it, 2 months ago, more than that. They could have released them. I know that they needed time to do editing and stuff. But I thought as an experiment, it was interesting to do it this way. But overall, it didn't make that big of a difference for me. I lean slightly towards the weekly episodes, though. So at number 8, we have the potential stars that they developed in the tournament.
Yeah, my favorite here, and I'm just is Ripley. She's from Australia. The crowd seemed to really, really get into her. I said this to you off the air and actually tweeted it to her, and she retweeted it. So you know, I was marking out. But she reminded me of Okada. I think because of the youngness of her and the she felt like she knew what she was doing and hasn't done it for very long. Just a natural. I could see her in the. I said what she needed was the big robe and do the whole deal. I know they were not going to do that, but just a big girl, good looking, athletic. This to me was the one that I would have grabbed and said, okay, I'm going to push this girl to the moon. I know they pushed the ones that they did because of their experience. And maybe we'll be able to see if they don't fuck it up like they did 205 Live. We'll see more of her. She's the one that stood out for me. And you know, I raved about her, just me and you. And, hopefully we won't do a top 10, you know, about what's wrong with the Mae Young Classic TV show that they're doing 10 things. So,
10
yeah.
things to improve that again.
Yeah.
So I had her on my list, too, I think, and she reminded you of Okada. She reminded me of Charlotte in her athleticism. I thought, amazing that she's that poised and that, ring ready at 20 years old. If that 20 years old story is true, A, keep her away from the boys' locker room, and B, keep her away from Joe Feeney Sr., too, because he has a thing for the Australian girls. but I was definitely impressed with her, especially at the age of 20. My other ones were Dakota Kai. I was a big fan of hers as Evie and Shimmer. I thought that she was so good looking. She's got just a likability factor, and she's so good in the ring. I think she really could out Bailey at this point. I think she has that gene of likability, and in addition to the fact that she's so good in the ring and she's really cute. My favorite always is Nicole Savoy. She only got a couple matches in this one, but she is the total package in the ring, her mic skills, her charisma, her looks. At one point, she's just such a good smartass in the ring. She reminds me of Kevin Owens with some of the stuff that she says off mic that you can still hear in the ring. She was wrestling Candice LeRae, and she says, come on, Mrs. Wrestling, and I just got such a kick out of that. So Nicole Savoy, with the right push in the right organization, can be a huge star. And then lastly, Mia Yim. I think Mia Yim had, when I crunched numbers and did average scores, Mia Yim had the second best averages behind Kairi Sane. Even though she only had a couple matches, they were both great. I think she might be over the hill in terms of her age to get signed by WWE, but I think she still has great assets to bring to the table.
And she is Chinese also, right?
I'm not sure where. Is it all just a blanket Asian statement for you, Chinese?
Yeah, yeah. You
Korean,
know,
whatever.
Us guys from the South, they're all
same thing.
Chinese.
Same
so,
thing.
Yeah.
So at number 7, we have, this is right up your wheelhouse, at number 7, Piper Niven.
All right, so, you know, I kind of ripped her a new one. We remember that on the anniversary show, episode 50. I said, blah, 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 wasn't too impressed with her. And I want to do a retraction, okay? That first
match.
Of course
you do. Of course.
That first match was not that good, okay? I didn't feel it with her like everyone else did. She was nervous. I mean, it was the first time going out, and some of those opening matches, you know, which we'll talk about down the line, but that was one part that I think as she got in the ring with better people, her matches got better. And a few girls were like that, and she was like that. She is still not on the, you know, the big attraction as a lot of the, you know, like you said, we said, it seems like everyone's saying how hot she is, even though they put down, Nia Jax. I tell you what, during the show Tuesday night, she was in a dress and all dressed up and just a beautiful girl. So I took back all the bad things I said about her, a decent worker, beautiful girl, still don't want to put her in my bedroom or anything like that. But, you know, that's come off as being a professional, and last night, Tuesday night, she looked really good. Just in plain clothing.
I think the news coming out of this episode is that BT does not want to put Piper Niven in his bedroom. I think that's the news flash that we're going to all take away from this podcast. I, on the other hand, will say, yeah, I don't find her attractive at all. I'm sorry. I'm not as somebody who listens to the show said, BT seems like a real chubby chaser, and you don't. And I'm like, yeah, there you go. So he got us pegged. So I'm not going to go on and on about her good looks or anything like that. As a matter of fact, her gear, I could have done without all the missing patches of fabric on her gear. Jesus Christ, please take those patches away from like Rhea Ripley's gear or something, okay? Anyway, but I will say good things about her. She is the anti-Nia Jax. She does all of the moves that Nia Jax should be doing. She's fearless in the ring. She's not afraid to come off the top rope. She's not afraid to do a lot of athletic moves. And I will give her hella credit because she'll do all kinds of things to keep up with the smaller girls and the more quote-unquote athletic girls in the ring. I think they should move her to the main roster right now and get the fuck Nia Jax out of there. And that would if they don't do that now, it's because of what Joe Feeney's conspiracy theory is that Nia Jax is where she is because of her name. Because this girl can outwork her, excuse me, this Piper Niven can outwork Nia Jax with her eyes closed. So I think they need to move her up right now. I was really impressed with her. So at number six, we have the announced team of Lita and JR.
And we discussed this in the Cool Kids group, and I'm going to say something right here that's going to – everyone's going to say BT's pretty fucking crazy, but – I had no problem whatsoever with Lita during this. She was quiet sometimes when she should have been talking, but she kind of covered her ass by saying, I got in the middle of the match or I was watching a match kind of thing. JR, I just don't think JR was the fit here. For some reason, I wanted Lita and I wanted Corey Graves, and Corey Graves may be the most overexposed announcer now, even though I love listening to him. I wanted those two to – maybe it's because they got so many tattoos, you know, and that's maybe – Corey keeps looking at Lita like, you know, which they probably already have, but look at – he lusts after her, and I don't know. I like the duo. I wish they would have stayed in. They did the pre-show thing and the introduction to everyone, so I wish they would have stuck her. JR just was not, for me – I'm not criticizing him horribly bad, but he wasn't a fit here for me for this. And I like Lita, so there you go, guys.
And you are crazy. JR, for me, JR was JR throughout the tournament. I thought, you know, they did post-production. They probably revoiced stuff. I thought he was fine. He was himself. He was his normal self, I thought, throughout the whole thing. But the one thing that was inexcusable was in the finals when he called the girl who was with Ronda Rousey, Marina Shafir. And it wasn't her. And granted, I wouldn't be able to pick Marina Shafir out of a lineup either. But then again, it's not my job, and I'm not calling the match. So there was a girl with Jessamyn Duke, the Jar Jar Binks lookalike, and Ronda Rousey in the front row. And he called her Marina Shafir, and it wasn't really her. So there was dirty pool putting her there with a Four Horsewomen shirt, but still, he should have known. As for Lita, if I hear Kylie Sane one more fucking time, Lita, I was going to Robert Goulet my television or something, you know, because she just drove me nuts with that fucking trying to sound so elitist and pompous. You know, she's the type that would call Kevin Steen, you know, Kevin Steen instead of Kevin Owens these days. So all I could think about as every time she'd say Kylie trying to sound all Japanese, I thought she should be calling a triple threat match between Kylie Sane, Kylie Rae, and Kaylee Ray, and just drive us all crazy. So I agree with you on Corey Graves, but I think it should have been Corey Graves and Renee Young. I thought that would have been a great team. I tolerated Lita, but during those Sane matches, she just drove me nuts with that fucking Kylie Ray shit, or Kylie Sane shit. So anyway, hey, BT.
Hey.
What kind of baby oil do you have those guys that oil you down and feed you grapes use?
Oh, it's Johnson & Johnson. Johnson's baby oil locks into 10 times more moisture on wet skin than an ordinary lotion can on dry skin, leaving your skin soft and smooth. It's clinically proven to help prevent excess moisture loss. This gentle oil is also easy to spread.
I really thought that it was for the babies.
No, it's for all ages. Use it to smooth and relieve dry, rough patches, and it leaves skin glowing and baby soft.
And BT, where did you get your bottle?
Oh, I got mine at Amazon.com. It ships directly to me. And if you guys listening right now would like to get your own baby oil so your friends can rub it on you, then go to Amazon.com and use the code SLICKASABABY'SASS for 20% discount. Boom.
And at number five, back to the countdown, we have the gimmicks.
Oh, the gimmicks. Oh, my God. Let's talk about this. That stupid little fucking hat that Tony Storm had. Oh, my God. What the hell was that? I thought she really impressed me. And she's young, too, right? Did they say she's like 21 or 22,
something like that, yeah.
Her really match with Sane was really good, and she just, to me, had things that wrestlers at her age don't have, and that's the charisma. The
booty.
Yes, I love the booty. I mean, yeah. I liked her booty, you know. I mean, she stole that. She actually did steal that gimmick, but I did like that. And the thing about it is she, even with that stupid hat, had that, like I said, facial expressions, things that it takes years sometimes for people to get, and look into the crowd, and then the motions she did with Sane where she looks to her after they did four or five different moves, and really, really good in the ring, so I liked her. And then let's talk about the hair. This girl is fucking athletic as I don't know what, but whips people with that fucking hair. I hated that. I hated the sound. I used to be friends, and there's four or five older wrestlers that would talk about the piercings like you were talking about. But that's the first thing I would do if I was in the ring with her, is jump her with a pair of scissors and cut that, or choke her with her fucking hair. So, no, I can't even put her over. So, apparently, they probably got plans for her. I hope they cut her fucking hair, though.
I agree with you on the hat. The hat was the first thing. All I could think about with that stupid fucking hat was, and this is going to really date me here, but Trilogy of Terror, there was like a bad horror movie from the 70s. Trilogy of Terror looked like something out of there, or it looked like something off of a kid's birthday cake or something. It was just ridiculous, that stupid fucking hat. But you're right, she can go, so I thought she was okay. Bianca Belair, you didn't even mention her goddamn name, so
I'm not putting her over until she cuts her fucking hair.
At first, I was with you. I thought the hair was stupid. It was a dumb gimmick. But she started growing on me. The fact that they said that she's only been in the business for a year. So her, like Rhea Ripley, again, amazing poise. She did a fucking 450 off the top rope.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
I thought she
very
had a
athletic.
Great poise. She was a great athlete. I think she has a lot of potential. Obviously, she's not ready yet, but she'll get there. So you know how a lot of a lot of our guys come up with cockamamie harebrained theories, much like Mojo Rawley is the future of the business. I use that as an example. So here's my idea. This is my potential idea for Bianca Belair with her hair. You build her up as a fucking asshole heel for a long stretch. You just get the crowd to hate her. And she definitely has potential in that regard. You build her up till, you know, and she's using the hair as a whip and she's hurting people. And I like your idea. She's choking people with the hair. And you build her up to a hair match, and she builds up to that. And I kid you not, I really think that her losing the hair match could be like the second from the top match on a major pay-per-view. That's my crazy idea that, you know, along the lines of Mojo Rawley being the future of the business, I think that Bianca Belair, that hair is such a creative gimmick and such a unique gimmick. You build her up, you know, with great heel heat, and you don't fucking hotshot it and have it happen 3 months from now, because the knowing them, they'll do that. But if you build that up for a long stretch and you make it a big deal, that could be the biggest hair match in WWE in a long, long time. So
I love the idea, and I promise I will, when I tweet this, I will tweet it to Triple H and Stephanie also.
You please?
All right. So.
Yeah. At number four, we have the Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler.
Let me say, when the first match of hers and the first couple of matches of hers, I see what people were seeing in her, in the sense that she came off as a badass. She still, when she was in the ring with people that were, and this is the same for some of these girls in here, in the sense that when she was in the ring with people that were as good as her or better, she was having damn good matches. I really, the one with Mercedes was real good. The main event was real good. She just comes off as a total badass. I think that kind of in the Lesnar point, because she is a shooter. And I think with the thing Jim Ross did do during this announcing, was he established that she was a shooter. And that she did, you know, win X amount of matches. And the idea that they did put that submission over and she won every match with the submission was the thing to do. I mean, I came out of that tournament thinking, I've got to see more of her if I, you know, I may bar some shimmer stuff and just to see some more stuff of her. So that's what they meant to do, and they did it.
I thought that she played a really good killer, and you mentioned Brock Lesnar, and I think it was obvious, especially in the live show, when was that? Tuesday. So that was 2 days ago, right, BT? It was obvious that she's been studying Brock Lesnar's mannerisms, because I thought she had so much of his act as far as just the way she carried herself in the ring. I thought she did a great job. People were saying, you know, were her matches that short to hide her inexperience? Is it because she's green? Or were they that short to make her just a killer mowing down the field? So I come from a unique perspective. I've seen her pretty much since she started in professional wrestling, coming from MMA. I've seen her in Shimmer for a couple of years now, and I can answer that. It's not to hide her inexperience. I think she's grown a lot from when I first started seeing her. And she's been doing pretty much the same MMA gimmick since she got in pro wrestling, but now she's got a lot of the subtle nuances down. So I would say the reason they kept her matches short was to just establish her as a killer. I she should come in right away, and they should hopefully not fuck up the character and not have her be Tamina and some stupid thing where they try to glam her up even more. I did think that she was she missed an opportunity when she beat Candice LeRae. I thought when she confronted Gargano in the front row, I thought for sure she was going to nutshot him there. That would have been great. And lastly, a question for Dave Prazak. Is Baszler now the Shimmer champion because she beat Mercedes Martinez in the Mae Young Classic? So there's a question for you. At number three, we have the one and only champion, Kairi Sane.
I know you're saying this with a smile on your face, because we've talked about this off the air. But man, the first match she had, I thought was really good, but I didn't really know what to think when she walked out with the fucking, I thought she was Johnny Depp or something, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean horse shit, you know. I was just like, what the hell is going on here? But, you know, it grew on me. It's kind of like one of those things where, if you've never seen Nakamura until he comes to the WWE, then you wonder what the hell he's doing, you know, or what's going on with this guy. And that's what I thought. I mean, she walks out, but, you know, the crowd got behind her so much, and she has the experience of that, you know, she has experience of having charisma in the sense that she knows how to work the crowd. You know, she has a finishing move that got over, you know, boom, just one match, it's over. She's wearing this super big elbow pad. So, you know, what the hell's she doing with that is what you're thinking. And then boom with that. God, I love that. I love that elbow smash. That elbow smash is better than Randy Savage's elbow smash, okay? So y'all can see me hate mail now because I actually think something's better from this time period than the other. But just awesome. Nice little worker. And I've got the only thing about her, and I said this, is that there is absolutely no attraction whatsoever with her. She's like a 10-year-old Chinese, and I'm sorry, I know she's not Chinese, Chinese boy. I mean, she is so small and so dainty. And if I see anything on Twitter or Facebook that says, damn, she's hot, I'm thinking, well, my God, why don't you just go get you a small Chinese boy and you'll be all right, you know? Just my opinion. I'm not, I'll take Piper in 100 years over this girl. All right.
We are body shaming left and right on this show. So if it's not me with Piper Niven, it's you with Kairi Sane. The gimmick is the hokiest, corniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is it out cornballs John Cena, if you ask me. I'm sorry. It is so cheesy and so hokey. That ship's wheel that she comes out with is the goofiest looking thing. The only thing I can think with that is that it's going to become a contest to see who gets to have the angle with her to bust it over her head first, because that's what's coming. It's got to be, because otherwise it's so dumb. Her music is like coming back from a commercial break at the Oscars. It's like the cheesiest, weirdest music, too. It is just the weirdest act, but yet she's really obviously great in the ring. She has great charisma, and I find her mildly attractive. I hope you're not going to convict me for that. If you're into, I put down on my notes 14-year-old boys, so you went even lower on that one.
Okay.
I think the reason I came around on her looks is because she nearly popped her top off on the final. So I think there was.
Well, you would have been able to see the chest of a 10-year-old Chinese boy.
The elbow is definitely exciting. I love her act as far as the wrestling and the in-ring is great. And the one takeaway that I have about her is I think that she could be the Rey Mysterio that they've been looking for so long that they have not been able to duplicate. Obviously, the language barrier is going to be important, but I think that she could be that, you know, that appealing to kids character that Rey Mysterio was that they've been trying to duplicate ever since he left. And, you know, with failed attempts with Kalisto and Sin Cara and other people, I think they've been looking in the wrong direction. I think this girl could be the Rey Mysterio character that they're trying to find and sell tickets to kids to get kids to the arenas again. So at number two, we have the pros of the tournament. In other words, like the pros and cons. We have the pros on the Mae Young Classic.
You know what? I think the pros of it, it was, you know, we was able to see a bunch of new people, 32 girls. You've seen a lot of these girls with you going to the Shimmer shows. A lot of these girls I'd never, you know, laid my eyes on, and it was able to see a lot of talent. I thought a lot of things that was I was excited about, and that's why I always like tournaments like this. You get to see a lot of new people. The only thing is, when I was sitting here watching this, I was thinking to myself a couple of times, hey, they could have used her, or they could have used this other girl, or they could have used, you know, there's so much talent out there, and that's kind of scary when it comes to the women's division. Now, right now, you see so many girls that are making a living, not only just, you know, wrestling part-time, they're making a living in the business, but there's just, you know, I came up for like 10 names that we could have actually used in this tournament, so that might have been the only cons, because I thought a lot of the girls were green there at the front of the show.
For me, the major thing that I can come away from the show with was that they do these tournaments so well. I think that now they've proven between Cruiserweight Classic, the British tournament, and now the Mae Young Classic, I think that they've really found the right formula to do these things. I thought they brought in probably the right amount of people. I guess they could have brought in a little bit more and made it a bigger bracket, but you're right. Those first couple rounds, those first couple matches, some of them were pretty clearly green and jobber status, I guess. But I thought the interviews were great. They did a really nice job establishing personalities with these girls that, like you said, most people didn't know who any of these people were. And I thought they did a real nice job with the personality pieces that got longer as the shows went on because they had fewer girls to work with. I thought they did a really nice job acknowledging Shimmer, because if Shimmer didn't exist, I don't think this show would have existed, because they basically took the formula from them. One thing that I can say, though, about the way they do these tournaments, it seems consistent that the arenas are always really dark. And I don't know why, but it's always very noticeable. Like in half the matches, at least on the first couple rounds of this, the arena just seems so dark to me. I don't know why. But I'd say overall, I really enjoyed the format of the tournament. Yeah, there were definitely some green workers in there. But I thought overall they did a nice job establishing a handful of stars coming out of it and getting those new names to be recognizable names to the WWE fans. So now at number one, not the cons, but we've called it the missed opportunities.
There you go. Number one, missed opportunities. Before we go any further, if you liked, and you know what, my buddy didn't tell me anything to do this or anything, but if you did, and we mentioned the name a lot, if you liked the Mae Young Classic, the guy behind a lot of this is the Shimmer Omer. He's been on a show with us. He's a longtime friend. I've known him forever. ShimmerWrestling.com. Go give those guys some money, because the WWE gets all the money they need. Great tournament, but he has a lot to do with the female talent in here. So missed opportunities in the last days. I think, to me, it was the format. I like the format of being able to see more people, and I understand. But it was the idea that had – I kind of think we could have done the whole thing with, you know, two less shows. And it just really felt like it was rushed. I really think that they missed opportunity when they come to just letting the girls do 10-minute matches instead of, you know, stretching them out more. I really loved the last two shows. If you're a wrestling fan – no matter if you, you know, don't watch a lot of girls stuff, just, you know, go out of your way and watch the last two shows and the final. To me, that was what was to watch of this. Some of those first shows, the four shows, they were easy to watch, and like you said, not even an hour. But I think that's where they miss it. It's like, to me, a little bit more time with a little bit more seasoned people would have made the tournament a little bit more better. I don't have a major bitch, but that's what I would have done.
My missed opportunities related to the final show in the final couple days. The no-brainer to me was that they didn't do anything live on Raw or SmackDown. You got 5 hours of live TV between Monday and Tuesday night. They could have had promos with one of the girls one night, Shayna one night, and Kyrie the second night or something. They could have done fucking tag matches with them on one of the shows. They did nothing. They just showed the commercials during Raw and SmackDown, and that was it. They could have had live audiences reacting to those girls at Raw and SmackDown, and they did not do it whatsoever. As far as the show itself, totally rushed. The goddamn final show was 30 minutes, for crying out loud. I went into it thinking that it was going to be 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, and they would have a couple warm-up matches. They'd have some tag matches with some of the other standout performers. They could have had, you know, maybe a grudge match right before the main event, and then they would go to the main event. But no, nothing to warm you up. They literally just did the 12-minute final match between the two of them, and then it was, like, immediately off to 205 Live. Like, that was such a big fucking priority that it's – I swear, that show is such an afterthought. Why was that – that came across like that was the priority. Like, let's wrap this up. We got 205 Live to get to, you know, and it just was ridiculous. granted, it would have been a long night for that audience, but maybe they should have moved it to fucking Orlando and made it more of a takeover type special at Full Sail. They could have had that live small crowd going crazy for this, and they could have done it as an actual full-on show as opposed to a 30-minute blow-off that came across as like a PS to the entire thing. And then finally, the other missed opportunity, no horsewomen build whatsoever on the final. There was nothing, no angle afterwards,
nothing. I'm thinking that way. You're saying, and where the fuck was Sasha Banks?
And where was Sasha Banks? They kept referring to throughout the whole show, once they finally acknowledged Rousey being there, they acknowledged the four horsewomen versus the four horsewomen, and hey, there's two groups of four horsewomen. Who would have thought, you know? And there's never a Sasha in that. And I mean, she's done, you know, she had other tours to be on and other obligations, but this seemed like a big deal. And if this is what I think it's leading to, is going to be a four-on-four match at WrestleMania. Some people say Survivor Series, but I think Mania would be the ESPN SportsCenter moment with Rousey there. I think that's what it's building to. Jeez, have Sasha in it. I mean, this is a big enough deal. You could have yanked her from the tour of, you know, Czechoslovakia or wherever she's at right now, signing autographs or doing a house show in Prague or whatever. They should have had the full complement of people. Why the fuck was Summer Rae there? She made no sense being there as Sasha's proxy. So anyway.
Maybe they have plans for this. To me, they missed the opportunity for the angle.
Right.
I mean, if they would have had all of them there and to have the angle that they would lead to the whatever the next stage is, you know, and no one can say that they'll do this angle and they couldn't stretch this out to WrestleMania because they're really good at that. So I don't understand. You're right. That was one of the missed things, too. To me, was just I kept waiting for them to jump the 10-year-old boy, you know? I mean, Sane, I, after she won the belt, you know? But it just didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Hey, guys, we enjoyed it. We always enjoy the Cool Kids Countdown. It's one of our fun shows. If you don't listen to anything but this show, and on Tuesdays we do the Rizzle Shoot the Shiznit, and then every other Thursday we do Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. But return here in 2 weeks, same bat time, same bat channel, on the best little wrestling podcast in the
business!
A business!